Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And if you are a horror fan, you're probably also aware of the popular Scary Movie series, which has parodied some of the biggest horror hits of the last 25 years throughout five different films. Well, today's special guest hilariously portrayed Anna Faris's psychic nephew, Cody Campbell, in Scary Movie 3. Today, he works on the other side of the camera, composing music and scores for film, television, and video games. Please welcome to the podcast our friend, Drew Mikuschka.
Hi.
Hi, Drew. How's it going?
I'm doing okay. How about you guys?
Good. For people who don't know,
we are
sorry, Tim. Wait, Tim, tell us how you are going.
I'm so good. I'm journaling right now.
Yes, yes. He's the Tim journal. I was just going to say, for people who don't know, we're actually friends with Drew because we are that cool.
Yeah.
No, we met Drew. How did we meet Drew?
Bathhouse?
No,
just kidding. I don't even know why I said that. I've never been to one.
No, Drew, did we meet you going to a horror movie?
Yeah, with Dean. We met through Dean.
Oh, yeah. We saw Don't Breathe 2.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we've just met people from doing this podcast, from people who love horror movies, who's listened to podcasts. And then we just started going to see horror movies with our friend Dean and Drew, and then found out that he was in Scary Movie 3. And we're like, oh, my God, we're having you on the podcast.
Yeah, because you're like a child actor. And like, you know, I can relate to like Shirley Temple.
Oh, you can relate?
Yes,
your child acting. Sorry. Okay, but this is about Drew. And Drew, so here's the thing. So we like to take it back to the very beginning, which for you was this. But first of all, I read on, you know, the very trusty IMDb that you began acting at the age of 4 in various theater productions. How did you get involved in acting so early, and what productions were you in?
I really wanted to be a performer when I was a kid. I wish I still had all of that same vivacity, however many years later, quite honestly, because sometimes I think back and I'm like, wow. But I just always wanted to be a performer. And my mom was luckily a very supportive parent and let me pursue those things. And so like I did community theater stuff and like took like acting lessons and piano and voice lessons when I was around that age, when I started, like 4 or 5.
My God. Wait, so you're saying at 4, you were like, you even understood performance enough to know, like, I want to be a performer like that?
Maybe not necessarily like that. I want to do this with my life. But like anytime I was in a crowd, like I would go to restaurants and just like start singing for people. Like,
wow. I
love it.
Like I was that kid. Like, speaking of Shirley Temple. Yeah. So
did you put a pillowcase on your head and call it your pretty hair? Maybe that's
singing a little animal crackers in my soup for the restaurant, you know, so that was kind of my deal. And so I started taking voice lessons, like in acting lessons, because of that, because like I really liked performing for people and like doing that whole thing. And then maybe more by the time I was like 6 or 7 is when I would say, I like told my mom, like, I would love to like do community theater, or theater downtown or whatever. And
did she take you to like go get headshots and everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I wish my mom did that.
I know. She's great. She's the best.
But, he wants your life.
I do. Because I want to be you.
Wait, but so Drew, because I also read on IMDb, because, you know, I do tons of research before these interviews. Tons. No, that you went to like you received a lot of professional training. You went to various schools for, like you were saying, voice, piano, and acting. What were the schools that you received training from?
Well, and I'm from the suburbs of Chicago, and there I went to a school called Stacy D and Company, which still exists and is really successful and really wonderful. And I still am very, very close with my teachers there. I mean, they're like parents, like second moms to me almost. And I trained there in voice, piano, acting, like I said, early on. And then like once a lot of that other training that you're reading, probably that's whatever's on my IMDb, whoever put that there. Is probably more stuff that I did after my first couple of gigs, actually, once I was like actually in LA and like doing stuff, because there was just like more stuff out here, obviously, than in Chicago for training for this kind of world. But yeah, I mean, I don't really remember like specific names of other places that I went.
No, I'm just so impressed that you started so early.
And which did you prefer? Did you prefer stage, TV, film?
Well, my big dream when I was really young was to be a musical theater performer. And I really wanted to be on Broadway and all of that stuff. And obviously I've taken some detours into figuring out what I wanted to actually do creatively since then. But it was always more musical theater. And then when Scary Movie 3 happened, obviously, I wasn't like, I don't want to do this because it's not musical theater. Obviously, I was thrilled to also be doing that. But yeah.
Well, so moving on to Scary Movie 3, what was the audition process like for the role of Cody? Because, again, I read that you like caught the eye of a casting director after doing a commercial. I mean, again, I don't know if that's true, but tell us everything.
Well, I'll start from here because I feel like this will bridge the gap a little bit from your prior question. When I was going to that school in the suburbs of Chicago for my training, there's a thing it's a contest that I still think goes on today. It's called Best New Talent in Los Angeles. And it kind of sounds like one of those fake like Barbizon things. You know what I mean? Like, is this actually like working for anyone? But they have like scouts that go around the country to different performing arts schools. And you can audition and they select so many people to like come to the showcase in Los Angeles to like do their thing. And then agents come and watch it or whatever. So these scouts came to the school that I was going to in Illinois, and I did like a song and dance routine or whatever and did a monologue, and they picked me from the school to come. So I came to Los Angeles, and there's like 2,000 people I think that they pick from across the country every year, and I actually got first place for like best child actor at this contest in LA.
Wow.
So I beat out
Haley Joel Osment,
right?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas,
Shirley Temple.
You beat out. No, kidding. Do you think were there? I'm picking the most random references.
I'm like, what are
Shirley Temple? We've just combined three generations.
The only child star I can think of is like Shirley Temple.
Tim, literally, you sound like you're 75 years old.
I am. I've been meaning to tell people.
No, but I do have to ask, were there, or did you even know, were there any other child stars that were in that competition?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. I wish I knew now. It'd be kind of fun to see, like, if I kept in touch with those people, like, where their lives are now.
Selena Gomez.
Yeah, yeah.
You beat Selena Gomez.
Zac Efron.
Exactly, yeah.
See, I know.
That's how we're putting it out. Anyway, okay, go on. Sorry.
Speaking of, I do have a funny story about Taylor Lautner. Remind me about a Taylor Lautner story.
Yeah, tell us. He's a werewolf.
You hooked up with them. Oh, just kidding. No.
So I went to this thing and I got first place, and like for like the showcase of like the top contenders or whatever, like before they like give placements, like agents come and like watch the final thing. So it actually is like a real thing, because this is basically how I got Scary Movie, was from doing this, because my agent at the time, I think, his name is Mitchell Gossett. He's still an agent. He was Miley Cyrus's agent at the time, but he signed me from this showcase in LA, and Scary Movie was the second audition I ever went on in my life. It happened in like a few months after that. And yeah, that was how that came to be.
So when you got the role in Scary Movie 3, how soon did you find out? Like months later, or like right on the spot?
Pretty quick. I did the audition, and I remember at the end of the audition, the casting director came out to my mom and was like, "Can you come back tomorrow for a callback with like the director and the producer and whatever?" And we were like, "Yeah, obviously." So the very next day, I went and did the callback, and then I think within a week, I was doing the table read at like the Beverly Hilton or whatever, with the whole cast, and Anna Faris and Charlie Sheen and all of these people. And I think my mom and I were both a little like, what's happening? But
what did you have to do in the audition? What part did they have you do? What did they have you do?
You know what? I'm remembering now, whatever that factoid was that you read on the internet that was like, he caught the eye. Yeah. I remember what happened was I actually went in for an audition for that HBO show Carnival.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "I don't think you're right for this part, but can you come tomorrow to audition for this other movie?" And it was Scary Movie 3. And then so I did. And then the day after that was the callback. So that was how that happened.
So obviously you're 8 years old. Did you see Scary Movie 1 or 2?
No. Yeah. No. I had never seen them. I hadn't seen them until later, after I had done Scary Movie 3, like maybe by a couple of years, only because like, I feel like my mom letting me see Scary Movie 3 at that age is obviously, because it's like, well, of course, like, but like for the other ones, it was still weirdly like, you can't watch these yet, even though I had been in one of them, but.
Right.
That's so, yeah, and you know, Scary Movie 3 is the first one that's PG-13 versus the first two were R. So I guess I understand it, but it must be so weird. You're going into a movie that's the third part in a series and you haven't seen the first two.
Yeah, I mean, I had to watch all of the movies that Scary Movie 3 was spoofing. So like, imagine like 8-year-old me watching, you know, Naomi Watts in the ring crapping my pants. It's like one of the scariest freaking movies, in my opinion. But So yeah, I remember watching that and being like scared shitless before doing Scary Movie 3, but like, obviously I wasn't scared on set or anything, you know, movie magic. I wasn't actually scared of the ring girl. Like, I knew she wasn't the ring girl.
What? I believed everything.
Yeah, I thought it was. Wait, yeah. And then did, so you said, so you, they made you watch the ones that were parodied in the third one, but had you watched any horror before this?
Oh yeah. I've always been a big horror fan. Like, I really got introduced, not, you know, from a more casual horror perspective, like through Hitchcock with my dad when I was really younger. We used to watch like The Birds and stuff when I was like 6 or 7, which kind of sounds insane, but I just really liked those movies. And I've always really liked horror. I remember I watched The Exorcist for the first time when I was like 9 or 10 or something like that.
That's a lot.
So I've always loved horror, but I had never seen the actual scary movies prior to filming the third one.
It is funny though that they had you watch The Ring, because obviously, you know, to get familiar with that character, but The Ring is terrifying.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and it's a scary movie. It scares me now. Like, that's like, that is one of the few remakes that I feel like is actually really,
but one
really
thing
terrifying
is, like, VHS tapes are a thing of the past, so we should all relax.
So The Ring Girl, she can't make it through Blu-ray.
Right. She's like, VHS, maybe.
Yeah, but it is funny. And then, so literally, I know I keep returning to this, but I'm just fascinated by it. It's like an 8-year-old, you're watching The Ring, and did they tell you, like, for context, hey, you're going to be kind of parroting this kid in it? So were you watching the kid?
Like, I understood. Like, I was, you know, smart enough by 8 to, like, understand that this is like, oh, I have to play this character seriously, because that's what will be funny, is like doing like a very serious parody of this creepy kid from this movie. So like, I'm glad that I understood that, because I feel like maybe that's one of the reasons why they picked me. I don't know, but
That kid is creepy. Like, I don't know who the
kid
is.
He's right here. We're talking to him.
I can't remember his name, the kid from the ring. I wonder what
Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner. His name is Zac Efron. No. Okay. So in Scary Movie 3, you have so many hilarious lines, and I just need to say a few of them because they are hilarious. Like, one of our favorite scenes, we were just talking about, is the funeral scene.
Yeah. Oh, and my God. That funeral scene, I watched it last night. It is so funny.
Yeah, and you first tell a pregnant woman, it's a boy, he's going to be an asshole. And something about that coming from an 8-year-old is hilarious. You also tell a woman that her period's starting in 3, 2, 1, which I don't even know if you would have known what a period was at that age.
I didn't really understand it. I had to get a very easy overview from my mother. I remember being like, oh, it's, you know,
that must have been comfortable.
Yeah. You know?
That's actually the line that's quoted to me most, is that your period starts in 3, 2, 1. Like, whenever anyone finds out that I'm the kid from that movie, that's like the first line that they go to.
I love it, because then the other one of my favorites, when you go to the couple and you tell the guy you're getting lucky tonight, and then you tell his girlfriend he doesn't know you're a guy.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that would fly today.
Yeah, today maybe.
I know. Somebody recently brought that up to me, and they're like, oh no, you're going to get canceled. And I was like, well, from my perspective, it's like a little wink. Like, good for you, girl.
Get yeah.
I don't like, like, also, I don't see it as like a, you know.
I feel like you have to look at movies from the time that they were done. Like, Scary Movie 1 is hilarious, but there's so much that would not fly.
Oh, gosh.
Today.
All of them. None of them would get made now. There's
yeah,
no
yeah.
I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
Is it crazy for you in your mind that next year is the 20th anniversary of the movie coming out?
Of Scary Movie 3?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that info until this moment. Right.
That 2003.
Makes me sick to my stomach.
Next year is 2023.
That is crazy.
Oh,
wow.
That is crazy.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary. Well, and that was going to be my question with the lines, is that at such a young age, did you even understand the adult humor in the film, or were you just like trying to remember your lines and deliver them?
No, I think I did. Like, I was always, people always told me when I was young, like, oh, you're like a 40-year-old in like a little kid's body. Like, you know, I always kind of like got it, I think. Maybe not like specifically, like, again, like the period stuff, like maybe not quite exactly what the real joke was, but like I understood at least the crux of them, I think.
No, that, yeah, I feel like I'm trying to think 8 or 9 that I probably would. But
I would,
like,
not.
It is funny that I feel like maybe the period joke would go over today. Trans humor would definitely not go over well. But I think like the other lines that you have, I think, like the it's a boy who's going to be an asshole, that could be okay.
Yeah,
today.
That's fine, because people are assholes.
People are assholes. Yeah. So another thing we wanted to ask you about the director of Scary Movie 3 is the great David Zucker, who had already written and directed so many hilarious comedies like Airplane and the Naked Gun franchise. What was David Zucker's directing style like? Like, do you remember what the mood was like on set during filming or how he interacted with you?
Yeah, it was very playful. He was a super fun guy. It was never like super stressful. Like, he was the type where like they'd be figuring out jokes on the fly or like little funny additions, and then like he would have everyone gather around to like watch the playback like immediately and like, you know, have a laugh with the cast, which I think is great. He was really nice to me. I remember him being a very lovely guy. And yeah, it was never like tense on set or anything. I just remember there being lots of little moments where like somebody, either the assistant director or the director, you know, would come up with a funny idea to add to the scene, and like everybody would be cackling just like at the genesis of the thought. And then like seeing that kind of like play out in real time and like film it is pretty cool.
That's so cool. I mean, I figured, considering the types of movies that he does, I can't imagine he's like this strict, really tough person. But when you think about like the, and also he, I guess he's famous for having Leslie Nielsen in like every one of his things, you know, which is crazy because he's in this too. But I figured he's got to be someone who's just really, really easy to work with. And moving on to some of the stars, we are going to ask you about some of the individual stars that were in the movie to see how much you got to work with them, because so many of them have become household names or already were at the time. So we wanted to ask you about working with a few of them. And first of which, of course, the hilarious Anna Faris, who plays your aunt, Cindy Campbell.
What was it like? What was she like in person? What was she like to film with?
Anna's a wonderful person. I remember her being incredibly, incredibly intelligent and well-spoken. And I feel like most of these actresses who play this type of, you know, airhead character actually are like incredibly smart people. And she was really kind, and I don't know. I mean, I wish I could give more, I can try to think of like specific stories, but I mean, she was lovely. I mean, I remember she was so nice to my mom, and like we would get dinner and like whatever with my mom and Anna, you know, we would like do dinner or whatever sometimes.
Now, do you watch every episode of Mom?
No, I haven't seen a single episode of Mom.
What? Oh my God, we're telling her. And wait, so is it this whole time I've been pronouncing it wrong? It's Anna, not Anna.
It is Anna, yeah.
Oh my God. I am an idiot. I'm sorry, Anna Faris, because she's a big listener.
She is. She's always like writing us and like saying please.
All the time. And I'm like, Anna, enough already. We know you're a super fan.
My favorite, I mean, I love Anna, of course. She's hilarious and everything she touches is gold. But Regina Hall is quite the scene stealer. Did you do much with her or interact with her?
She's so funny. I mean, anytime anyone finds out that I'm the kid from Scary Movie 3, which is so funny, I'll be friends with people for like half a year, like that I've met in LA. And then like, just a side note before I talk about Regina. And then like, I'll post something on my Instagram story about Scary Movie 3, like making fun of myself or like a meme of myself. And they'll respond like, wait, you're the kid from Scary Movie 3. And I'm like, how do you not know this? You've known me for like half a year or a year.
We didn't know until Dean told us. I mean, and just for context for people listening, we met Drew, I guess maybe.
Drew Dean.
But I mean, how long ago? Like 9 months ago?
Half a year ago or a little more.
So I guess 6 months, just like it is. And it wasn't until Halloween that Dean just casually said something like, oh, you know, he's the kid from Scary Movie 3. I'm like, no.
Well, that's when I reveal to people that I'm the lady from Misery.
Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious. He doesn't have to look at your face and style.
That's
but,
right. So, dirty bird. You're a dirty bird.
Kathy Bates right here.
That's right. Oscar winner 1990.
My co-host, Kathy Bates. No, that is funny because we didn't know. We're part of that friend group. But anyway, back to Regina Hall, because she is fucking hilarious.
Anytime I tell somebody, that, or they find out that I'm the kid from Scary Movie 3, like one of the, again, after quoting, your period starts in 3, 2, 1, the next thing is usually like, how is Regina Hall? Like, she's so funny. She's the best part of those movies. And like, maybe objectively she is. I'm not even sure if that's subjective. I think she's so funny. One memory I do have, and this is a nice story, Scary Movie 4, you know, I had a very small role, meaning that I'm just in pictures, which is very quick little backstory. I was supposed to be another main character of 4 because they were going to do a spoof of The Ring 2, and they wrote a whole script that was The Ring 2. same, you know, role with me and Anna. But then War of the Worlds came out and they decided that that would be funnier to parody and not do another Ring scary movie. So they rewrote the whole script. And obviously there's a little girl in that movie as like the child role, not a kid, not a boy. So I got a very sad phone call being like, we wrote the script and like have to write you out of this movie. And like,
oh my God.
That was going to be a later question.
Don't answer the phone.
No, that was going to be a later question.
I know. And like, I remember but like they called my mom when I came home from school, like she was so upset to tell me and I was so upset. I remember like crying for like the whole night because
aww.
I hope you sent that little girl death threats.
But this is where I was going with this. So my part in four is just like, oh, we sent Cody away to like military school in Afghanistan or something insane. And then there's like photos of me like with like AK-47s and like shaving with like a Bowie knife or something. And there was another one that was supposed to be, they spent like 5 hours doing this fake tattoo. I'm getting to Regina Hall, doing this fake tattoo on my back of like a naked woman with like a cowboy hat riding a rocket. And it was like me getting a tattoo in the army. And like, it didn't go away for like weeks. And then I had to like go back to school in like sixth grade and like gym class. And I'm like changing with this like naked woman. I'm like, what is this? But, anyway, so since I was only on set for Scary Movie 4 for like a few days and I didn't have any scenes with Regina, she still wanted to see me. So she like came to set in a day that like she wasn't filming just to like see me and say hi and like have lunch. And I thought that was really sweet.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's
so
sort of funny.
She purposely made her way because she wanted to like hang out and yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Which is really sweet. And yeah, I mean, she's the funniest part of those movies. I mean, my personal favorite funny moment of Scary Movie 3 is when the girl from the ring is coming out of the TV and she starts eating the popcorn. I just think yes. That is so fucking funny. And her little monologue, you know, as she's coming out, that's just the funniest part of that movie to me.
I mean, I have to say,
there's so many.
One of my favorite parts of the entire series is in the first Scary Movie when Brenda's in the movie theater, obviously. That's such a famous part when she's like,
oh, Shakespeare in love. Yeah.
I watched it last night, and when someone threw the crayons just randomly in the classroom when she was the teacher, she goes, who the fuck did that?
That's the only fuck in Scary Movie 3, and it's because it would be R if there were more than
right. You're allowed one.
Do you know, and we'll get back to some of the stars we want to ask you about, but do you know, have any insight why they decided to make this PG-13 versus R like the other two?
Well, David Zucker is already more of like slapstick humor. And I
think my God, I mispronounced his name too, didn't
you said
I?
It's Zucker.
Oh my God, I said you should have corrected me, Drew. Well, it's
I like to watch it. It's
Zucker, Zucker, not Zucker.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
As far as I remember, that's what I always said. And maybe he just never corrected me. But I mean, I think it was more of his choice in a little bit and the studio. I think they wanted to like expand. You know, so teens could go see the scary movies is really what it was. I think they realized that they could get more of an audience if, they made a PG-13. And I do think it was a little bit of his humor being less crude and sexual and more slapstick and, you know, banter. And that was kind of how Scary Movie 3 was, I think, in terms of the humor, a little bit more than the first two.
It's much more visual.
Like yeah,
it's
and
like,
yeah,
that's what I mean.
More...
It's like visual, like, you know, almost cartoon comedy.
Whereas Damon Wayans is a little more, you know, sexy. But,
okay, it's Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Who did I say?
Damon. There's,
it too.
But no, he's not. It's Sean Marlon and Keenan Ivory.
That.
You got the wrong Wayans, brother. The first two scary movies were directed by Keenan Ivory, written by Shauna Marlon, and starring Shauna Marlon. I only know this because I'm huge fans of the Wayans brothers. Also a huge fan of David Zucker, but not enough to know how to pronounce his name.
Zucker.
But I think you're totally right, because when you look back at Airplane and the Naked Gun series, like it's not really obscene, dirty jokes. It's like you said, slapstick. It's just like whoopee cushion and fart jokes.
Well,
and
the
funny.
Cameron Mannheim and the sandwiches, that went on forever.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay, oh my God, one of my other favorite moments when her hat gets bigger. I don't know why. I just think it's so funny.
I agree. That's very funny.
It's so ridiculous that it makes it funny. I love that type of humor. But okay, so another person who plays a major part in Scary Movie 3 is Simon Rex. And I remember when the first came out, when the film first came out, because I'm a little older than you. I remember recognizing him for not only being like a former MTV VJ, but also he had some solo porn videos that had leaked in the 90s. And I'm just wondering, at the time, did you know anything about that? And of course, I mean the MTV stuff. No, actually, the porn also.
At the time, I don't remember. I remember finding out about that. I don't remember if it was after Scary Movie or before, because I think, to be honest, I think that leaked after Scary Movie. If I have my facts right, I think it was like a.
I'm not a Simon Rex expert.
I mean, Tim knows the history of Simon Rex porn.
I much prefer Pamela Anderson Lee.
No, you know what? You may be right. I cannot remember, but I thought I knew.
Part of me remembers like Scary Movie 3 being like successful and like people liking him in that, and then that leaking and him like not getting roles. Like that's what I remember.
But he's back. He just made a movie.
He is. Yeah, and I want to see that. It's Red Rocket, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, and he plays a former porn star, doesn't he, or a porn director?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do.
Irony.
Anyway, so sorry, you were saying, so you may have found out after?
Yeah, I don't really remember, honestly, the specifics about that. But I do remember finding out at some point in that area, that era of my life, that happened. But I don't remember the specifics.
I mean, and he was an MTV VJ, so let's not forget about that.
I'm not forgetting it.
Yes, don't forget about that. I feel like there's like, how many people have been MTV VJs now? Like,
I just remember Duff.
Oh my god. Anyway, okay. So other big names, because we can't go through every single person, so I'm just going to do a big list and then you tell me if you have any like fun memories of working with them, because there's so many people that had either
star-studded
or cameos in Scary Movie 3. Charlie Sheen, Kevin Hart, Anthony Anderson, Leslie Nielsen, Queen Latifah, Denise Richards, Jeremy Piven, George Carlin, Ja Rule, Pamela Anderson, Jenny McCarthy, and even Simon Cowell.
Don't forget Macy Gray.
She did have a cameo.
Is in there. She launches off like a flame, like a, what is it? Like a
gun.
Flamethrower.
Like Zuka or whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay. I figure because you don't share scenes with a lot of them, you probably didn't meet all these people, but do you have any memories or stories with any of these people from the film?
Sure. I'll start just because you said him last. I'll start with Simon Cowell because I do have a fun story about Simon Cowell. I loved American Idol at the time. Because I was a singer, you know, as I said, I wanted to do musical theater. And I loved, this was like the first, this was like maybe season 2 or 3 of American Idol. This is when it was like a big thing.
Height.
Yes, when he was in Scary Movie 3. Like this had just become a thing. And I had met him very briefly on set. And then I ended up doing this other, right after Scary Movie 3, I was the star of the assistant director for Scary Movie 3's short film that he like did for Sundance. And it was this like funny, like, musical comedy that a lot of the people from Scary Movie 3 did for him, like kind of as a favor. Like Anna was in it, Charlie Sheen. We're the only 3 from Scary Movie 3, but Charlie Sheen, Anna, and I were in it. And as a thank you, like for doing this short film for him, the assistant director of the short film got me tickets to go see American Idol. And so I went to see American Idol. And when I was there, during one of the breaks, they were like doing like a ask the judges questions. And I asked a question to Simon Cowell and he like pointed at me and was like, I know you. He was like, you were in Scary Movie 3 and we met. And then the crowd was like, what? And like, because this movie had just come out like last year or whatever. And it was kind of a fun moment.
Oh my God. Did everybody like attack you after that? And from the audience were people?
No, not really. But I remember it being kind of overwhelming.
I love that.
I wasn't swarmed or anything, but there's a Simon Cowell story. He gave me a glossy, I remember, signed.
I will say this because that's fresh in my mind. When he got shot in the movie, it was a stuntman. It wasn't Simon.
Oh, yeah.
No. They actually said, Simon, can you put on this bulletproof vest? Yeah. We're going to shoot you a bunch of times. Awesome. That's a great story.
Denise Richards was very, very nice. I have to say.
She's on The Bold and Beautiful. She's perfect.
Tim loves Denise.
Who are you?
I now have a list.
I love Denise Richards.
suddenly, Seymour.
She was really lovely. I had this little book somewhere. I had like one of it was like a little kitty, like disposable, like Polaroid that I would like bring to set. And I have like a little autograph book somewhere where I have like all these little Polaroids with like. I remember it was the day that they were taking pictures of everyone for like the cover, you know, how they do like the movie seats and like put everyone on the posters for Scary Movie 3 and all of the scary movies. So like they, kind of like take pictures of everyone like separately and then like Photoshop who they want to end up on the poster. And so that was the day where like most of the cast was all present, you know, for one day together, because we were all in this like, you know, doing this photo shoot. And I remember taking all these little pictures that I have in a little book on that day with all of the cast. And I remember Denise being so nice that day because we didn't have any scenes together. So like we had only met a handful of times and spent like a few days together on set. But I do remember her being such a sweetheart. I remember the first time I met Charlie Sheen, that was like the first star that I remember my mom and I like seeing, like the first day I was on set. And he was just like smoking a cigarette outside of his trailer and like looked at us and just like nodded and was like, how's it going?
Did he say winning?
Listen, I met Charlie Sheen a couple times. I used to guard his trailer on 2 and a Half Men. I was a security guard. I don't want to talk about it. This is not true.
You know what I love about these stories that Tim always throws in is that can you look at Tim and imagine him being a security guard?
I kept Charlie safe.
Trying really hard. No.
I love it. Tim, you can guard my trailer anytime.
He gave me an iPad for Christmas, but I think he gave everyone an iPad for Christmas, so I'm not very special.
You're lucky it didn't include Tiger Blood, or was it?
Well,
was it
asked for Tiger Blood. He said, only iPads for you.
There was the big scandal. He was like, was he injecting himself?
I think it was just all talk. I don't think he actually did it.
But you did have scenes with Charlie Sheen, so you probably had to work with him more than like...
Yeah.
He was totally professional, right?
Yeah, totally. Honestly, like he really was a total professional on set. I mean, everybody was. I don't remember there being anyone who was like difficult or like super annoying or needy. And
definitely George Carlin.
Yeah.
He's one of the, there's a few people that I just like never met, like even like through that whole process. It was very long. Like that movie was like a 9-month shoot because they rewrote the script so many times. They like, originally it was like half the Matrix and then that was totally axed. There was way more stuff. There was like a lot of the Hulk in it originally. So the script went through so many different versions that I ended up living in Vancouver for 9 months filming this movie.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to tell a story about Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, please.
He was very funny, and he brought a little fart machine on set all the time. And he would hide at places, and like Anna would walk by, and like he would hit the fart machine, and like everyone would look around. He's just very funny.
I love that because it's like that to me is what I would want Leslie Nielsen to be like, because that's the type of character he plays in all these movies. So hearing that, I guess he has that sense of humor in real life, that's amazing. The other thing I was going to ask about was because there's only one other child actor in the film. It's the girl who plays Charlie Sheen's daughter. I think her name is Gianna Ballard, who I'm probably mispronouncing it. Did you guys bond at all just being the only two like kids on set?
A little bit, but like we had different tutors and everything. So like our trailers were separate. And honestly, I was always one of those really annoying kids who like wanted to talk to the adults. Like if there was a kid there, I was like, I don't really care. Like I want to talk to Anna because that's like more fun. And like, she has more to tell me, you know what I mean? So like, we got along, but like, we weren't like close pals or anything.
You were like, I am so mature. I need to talk to the adults.
We're Facebook friends. I haven't talked with her in a really long time, but her experience, I feel, in the movie was a little different just because she wasn't in it as much and she was from Vancouver. So she was like still living at home and like would get picked up and like come to set. So I feel like it was like different because she could like still go to school.
Right. It wasn't like summer camp.
Yeah. It wasn't like I moved my whole life and like my sweet mother did her work remotely for, you know, and faxed her work and like whatever for that long to like be there with me. And you know, I did all of my work like for school remotely and like sent it back to my school. And
so you were ahead of the times. You know,
I guess, COVID who? I was remote
We're working remotely in 2002.
I love that your mom had a fax machine. I was gonna say, like, an ongoing joke throughout the whole movie is like you getting hit by a car, and like I was wondering how they did that, and like, were you in any danger?
No, I was never in any danger. And I also did all of my own stunts except for one. I remember I have pictures of my stunt double. I actually got along more with him than the gal. I think I hung out with my stunt double more because we were pals. And the only shot in the movie that isn't me, like, I mean, of course there's dummies. Like when I'm not flying through the air. Like,
I was just going to say, because the most hilarious part is when Cindy backs up and literally hits you and you go flying. That obviously had to be a dummy.
And also yes, CGI, right?
Like, The only shot in the movie that isn't me or a dummy is when Simon Rex knees me in the face. If you remember the scene where like he first hits me with a basketball and I fall down, and then like that's me, and then like he walks over and accidentally knees me. In the back shot of my head, that's the only shot in the movie that isn't me, because for whatever reason, like him kneeing me in the face was like actually kind of freaking me out because of how close he was getting, and I kept like missing the shot. So like that is a stunt double, but that's the only one that's not me.
I was going to say, like, did you, being 8 years old, turning 9 while you're making it, like, and knowing that, like, the running joke is you getting the shit beaten out of you throughout it, like, were you all for it? Or did you have any, like, issues with it? Like, why did they keep beating
you? Oh, no, it was fun.
Like, your mom stepped in and go, this is too violent. This is my son.
No, actually, the only qualm that my mom had was, like, the whole, like, what is his name from SNL, who plays the priest.
That joke was so off color.
I know. Rammie. That is the only part that my mom, I remember, like, even talked to, like, my agent at the time, being like, should he still do this? Like, I feel weird about this. And, like, thank God she did, because it's, like, so, it was, like, so worth it. Like, I couldn't imagine her, like, not letting me do this movie because of this one off-color joke. Because it's, like, obviously just a movie, which I remember her saying to herself, like, it's just a movie, it's not real.
And also, but, it's not like the priest like really even interacts with you. He just makes comments.
It's all insinuated, yeah. But
you actually had to have that conversation with your mom.
Well, I remember my very religious great aunt sent my mom a letter after the movie came out, being like, how blasphemous that you let him be in this movie and subject him to these things. And it's like, well, girl, that movie paid for my master's degree. So I'm really happy that I did it, regardless of what you think.
Quick. I mean, like,
also, like, it's PG-13. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, the jokes are not like the crudest stuff, but you know,
yeah,
everyone has that relative. Let's just say that.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't even know how we got here. Oh, just my mom being like, my son's getting beat up. No, that was really the only part that she was weird about. But the getting beat up was fun. I mean, I love doing the stunts. I remember being so into it. And then like the prop people like would like sometimes give me like the breakaway glass and stuff as like a souvenir, because I thought it was so cool and like all of that shit. Yeah.
Wow. So
I want to be a child star.
Yeah. Well, you got to go back in time about.
I have a DeLorean.
Tim, you just have to go back in time, you know, 50 years.
How dare you? How dare you?
Okay. So another thing I wanted to. So Scary Movie 3, as we were talking about, it was the first film in the series that didn't involve the Wayans brothers. Like we talked about, Keenan Ivory directed the first two. Sean and Marlon helped write and were in it. And apparently there was like a lot of drama between them and the Weinsteins, big surprise, because the Weinsteins like refused to sign their deal and went forward with the third film without them. Again, you're very, very young doing this film. Did you know anything about this at the time? I mean, I'm assuming Anna Faris and Regina Hall weren't talking studio drama with a 8-year-old.
No, I don't remember that at all. And like I said, I hadn't seen the first two before doing it. So I honestly don't really even think I knew who the Wayans brothers were, even though I was doing, I mean, that. Somebody listening to this is going to be like, how dare you, you know, be in the third one and not even know who they are.
Well, you were young, yeah, very young.
Yeah, I don't think I really understood that at all. I wish I had a better answer.
I was always wondering if there was any drama between the Wayans brothers and Anna Faris and Regina Hall, since they continued without them, like if there was a weird loyalty thing, because I remember when Scary Movie 3 came out wondering like, why are the Wayans brothers not involved? Like it was just a very weird sudden like switch, you know?
I didn't think anything about it. I just accepted what was given to me.
You also thought Damon Wayans did the movie.
Listen, so I got problems.
So okay,
so when the movie like was all said and done and wrapped, was there like a movie premiere?
Yes, like,
tell us about that.
I vividly remember it. It's actually like a very fond memory because it was just such a cool experience. You know, they flew me to LA from Chicago because obviously I was back home at this point. Stayed at the Beverly Hilton, and you know, there was a whole premiere. And I don't remember where it was exactly. I wish I remembered what theater it was at. I don't remember that. I just remember showing up because like they had a car come and get me, you know, and bring me there. And I remember this will never happen again. But I remember getting out on the red carpet and then being like, "Here's like basically like your publicist for the night. And there was like a woman who just like followed me around as I like answered questions just to like field things for me and whatever, which was like so cool. I felt so important.
That is cool.
Wow. But yeah, like, you know, walking the red carpet with the paparazzi and like watching the movie. I mean, that was such a cool experience. I'll never forget it. And, you know, there was an after party. And I remember, I mean, I met a lot of people at the after party who like I didn't meet filming because they just had like a cameo or whatever. And, you know, we never had any scenes together. So that was cool.
Pamela Anderson?
Macy Gray?
I never met Pamela Anderson. She is one of
Did you meet Jenny McCarthy?
No, they're two of the only people I didn't meet. I met Queen Latifah.
Nice.
The Equalizer.
I don't think I met George Carlin either. I think there's just like a select few people who had cameos just for like one scene who like maybe didn't even come to the premiere. You know what I mean? And I didn't. I just never got to meet. But I have pictures somewhere of the premiere, me with like Randy Jackson and Simon Cowell.
Oh my god!
And like Anna and Regina, and like it's pretty cool.
Can we ask you, and only because you're our actual friend, that if you at any time can take a few screenshots of some of those old like Polaroids you have from it or from the premiere and send it to us, we would love to post those with like.
Sure.
That is so cool. Like,
yeah, I'm living through Drew.
Yeah, no, but that sounds just so cool, and I feel like since you're our friend, we can inconvenience you by asking you that.
It's actually funny. When I was home seeing my family, my mom gave me the task of like, go through all of your stuff. I'm like, I'm not your storage bin anymore. You know, like throw out what you don't want. And like, you know, I'll keep whatever you want me to keep here. But I went through all of my, you know, boxes of stuff that my mom kept for me throughout the years from school or whatever. And there's one whole box of just like scary movie shit, like scripts and like call sheets and pictures. And I came across a lot of really cool stuff that you can send me pictures of it, but like,
yes. Yeah. Oh my God, we would love that.
Pictures of me like smiling with the girl from The Ring and like my stunt double. And like, there's a picture of me like when I like, from set, when I like fly out the window and then like come walking back in behind them, I'm just like covered in mud and like just like glass sticking out of my head and stuff. There's like a picture of me on set somewhere of that, which is very funny. Yeah. And stuff from the premiere, but I'll try to find the song.
That's awesome.
Do some stuff.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you in advance for that. So, you know, you kind of answered our Scary Movie 4 questions already because, you know, 3 years later, it's 2006, Scary Movie 4 comes out, but Cody is only briefly mentioned and shown in a few photographs by Anna Faris. Oh, God damn it.
Faris?
Okay, forget it.
It's okay, Matt. You're all good. You're sitting next to me. You're fine.
Anna Faris.
I love Anna Faris.
Okay. So anyway, wow. Okay. So what I was going to ask you why they didn't include Cody. You answered that question already, but here's my question for you. That photo shoot, because the pictures they show, like you said, you have like the guns, the tattoo, you're also like shirtless. Did you do a photo shoot for that? And were they taking pictures of like a shirtless 12-year-old or however old? Yes.
Yeah. That was the day that Regina came and visited me. It wasn't the day that I was doing those photos. Yeah, they just had me set up. I remember it took a really long time. I remember it taking so long to like get exactly what they wanted for like three photos in that movie. And I remember being like, why is this like a 3-hour process? I felt like I was taking those photos forever. I don't know. And like they kept like redoing the tattoo a little bit. Like when I said it didn't even end up, you know, in the movie because it was like too raunchy or whatever. But
they had you're like 11 or 12 and they're like, hey, take off your shirt. We're doing a photo shoot.
Yeah. With, you know, knives and guns and
That's hilarious. I wish they had done because The Ring 2, although I didn't love that movie as much as The Ring, the kid is very prominently featured in that. So I guess, yeah, that would have been a big part for Scary Movie 4. But I do remember War of the Worlds coming out and Tom Cruise.
Well, the Scary Movies are all about like trying to stay like right on top of like pulp culture.
Been in the past year, yeah, which is another reason why they kept rewriting the script, I think, even in Scary Movie 3, because there'd be moments where like as we were filming and they were redoing stuff, it would be like, well, we've been working on this movie for too long. And like the Hulk is no longer funny or relevant if this movie comes out in half a year. So like you're just going to axe that and throw in some stuff from The Matrix or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, that makes sense. So after the scary movie films, did you do much more acting, or is that when you kind of started pursuing your current career path in composing music?
No, I kept doing acting, but I returned to doing Broadway musical stuff because that's really what I wanted to do. I mean, I did a few other like movie things. Like I said, I was in this comedy, that the Sundance comedy, for the assistant director of Scary Movie, and then did a few other short films, but I really wanted to do stage stuff. So I actually did Broadway and Chicago stuff downtown from like fifth grade to freshman year of high school. I was in The Secret Garden and Ragtime and Phantom. And I was in Ragtime for like, I did like 150 performances of that show or something. Yeah. So I really wanted to be a stage performer. And I did that until like early high school. And then I just had a realization where I think I realized what I loved so much of musical theater performance was the music itself and not necessarily like being on a stage and performing. And I think I also realized that like that sounded tiring and like not what I wanted to like do for the rest of my life as a job. So I just like had the realization one day, oh, I could like do music and still be involved in movies if I start writing music. And I think my junior or senior year of high school, I wrote music for the first time in my life. You know, of course I had been, sorry, I got distracted by something flying by the window. I was like, what is that? But I think I just had a realization like, oh, I can combine my love of movies and music if I start figuring out how to write it. And
I love instrumental music, like you like composing. Like I love Jerry Goldsmith and Thomas Newman. I was just wondering, who are your favorite composers?
Wow. Film specific, I mean, Danny Elfman is like my favorite of all time. And like Danny Elfman and Bernard Herrmann are like my two favorites of all time. And really the score for Edward Scissorhands and the score for
Vertigo, I have that.
Those two scores, which I have posters of both of those movies in my apartment, were kind of the two movies that really also made me realize how important and impactful music can be. And of course, both of those movies are kind of like, you know, thriller, creepy, and you know, that's kind of the genre that piqued my interest of writing for movies. So I'd say those two for sure, Danny and Bernard. But I'm also a really big Franz Waxman fan, who did like Bride of Frankenstein. And I kind of feel like those three are kind of like in a lineage, you know, kind of building off of each other. Like if I think of those people, I kind of feel like Franz Waxman is why Bernard Herrmann was able to be, which is why Danny Elfman was able to be. So, you know, in a fantasy world, I'll be the fourth installment.
Bernard Herrmann.
Of that lineage.
Psycho, right?
What'd you say?
Who did Psycho?
Bernard Herrmann.
Okay, got it.
He did all of the Hitchcocks until they had their falling out. And, you know, I think it was on Torn Curtain, the Julie Andrews, Paul Newman one. And they never, you know, they scrapped the Herrmann score and then they never worked together again.
Oh. Wow. You know, and I know you've developed quite a large resume of credits in film, TV, and video games, working in music. Can you just tell us about maybe like a few of the scores or projects you're most proud of from your life?
Sure. I've gotten to work on a lot of really fun stuff. I worked on this movie, this French movie, that was actually nominated for a César Award for Best Score, which is like their Oscars, you know, in France. I orchestrated and did some writing and conducted the score for this movie called Amanda, with composer Anton Sanko, who I've worked with a ton since I graduated, and very talented, wonderful guy. And that project was wonderful because he kind of was trying to invoke this like 60s nostalgia with the score, kind of like a patch of blue, speaking of Jerry Goldsmith, or kind of like some of the French stuff that was coming out at the time. So it's like a really small ensemble, like strings and woodwinds and harp and just like guitar and like some kind of like oddball plucked instruments. And it's like one of the most beautiful scores I've ever worked on. And it was like such a joy to be able to conduct that and like orchestrate all of that music. I also really loved it. I mean, I've mostly worked on animated TV is like what most of my credits are. And I think some of my favorite shows that I've gotten to work on the music teams for would be She-Ra and the Princess of Power, which is a DreamWorks, you know, reboot of the original She-Ra. But that was one of the first things that I, you know, worked on when I graduated. And it's always going to be important to me because it's a show that really champions diversity in all ways. Like there's so many gay characters and lesbian characters and non-binary characters and all shapes and colors and sizes, and like getting to like write music for like under a scene of like, oh, these two gay dads and their gay son in this, you know, animated show. It's like, this never would have happened, you know, when I was a kid, even.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome.
You're saying the 20th anniversary of me being a child. Is
I know. I was watching it last night and my mind was blown. I was like, this movie's going to be 20 years old.
Hey, better than it being the 20th anniversary of you graduating from college, because that's what I just hit.
At least you went to college.
So I loved working on that show. I also really, I worked on this Adult Swim show that I got to write, like some of it's unfortunately hasn't been renewed for a third season, but I worked on the first two seasons of this show called Tig Tone for composer Leo Bierenberg, who I'm still working with. I'm working on a couple of his things right now. That show is really fun because every episode is like a different pastiche or kind of parody of a different fantasy genre or fantasy movie. So like every episode was kind of like getting to, you know, stretch my wings and like, oh, if I got to score Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, or if I got to score Lord of the Rings. And like, it's really rare to get to write music like that anymore, unless you're working on like top, you know, big budget movies where they actually need music like that, or animation. So I love doing animation because I still get to write like super colorful orchestral fantasy music, and it's kind of hard to do and find gigs for that now.
I think it's really great that you had this experience being in theater and being in films, and but then discovered what you truly loved about it and pursued that, you know, because I feel like there's a lot of child actors who sometimes they disappear and then you don't know what happened. And, you know, maybe it's a dramatic story or they're still trying to get acting work and didn't really find what specifically they love about the arts, you know, because as a kid, a lot of times you don't even have the freedom to know what you truly love. And it's really cool that you kind of discovered that through the acting, that you really gravitated toward the music part and now are doing it. So that's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think acting on stage, like I said, for like 150 performances of a show with like a live chamber orchestra, you know, playing, and you can see them playing, I think that just left a really indelible mark on me, and like experiencing like a live orchestra, you know, playing music in my environment so often. It just kind of shaped and helped me figure out what I wanted to do.
That's great. Just a few last questions and then we'll wrap up. But
do you still keep in contact with anyone from Scary Movie 3?
Not very many people. And I always think, you know, if I did that movie now that social media is a thing, because this is, you know, pre-Facebook, Instagram, all of that, when this movie came out, you know, I think I would have kept in better touch with people because it's easier to. But I mean, an 8-year-old then, you know, not having an email or anything, it's like, how do you keep in touch? But I do still keep in touch with a select few people. I still talk to my tutor, because my tutor from on set, I call her Mimi. Mary Jo McVeigh is her name. She's very, very lovely. She still lives in Vancouver. She's like if Mrs. Doubtfire was real. How I feel about Mimi. She's so lovely. And I still keep in touch, you know, on and off with the assistant director of Scary Movie 3, because I was also in his short, and believe it or not, my first internship ever in the music world in LA was interning for the guy who wrote the music for that short, because I like connected with him from the assistant director of Scary Movie 3. So he kind of helped me out a little bit there too, which is nice.
I feel like if you randomly contacted Regina Hall, she'd like get lunch with you. Like, it just feels like she sounds like that
she probably would. Yeah, I mean, that would be super cool. And I wonder if like I ever, you know, ran into those people again, or, you know, saw them again, if they would remember much about the experience, because obviously they've done much more than I have in that world. And I'm sure those experiences kind of all blend together after a while. But obviously, that experience is so, you know, colorful in my mind still, because it was such a standout of my childhood. And so I probably remember these things more than they do. But
so I just have to ask this. If the powers that be for some reason brought back Anna Faris and Regina Hall for the next Scary Movie and asked you to reprise the role of Cody as a grown-up, would you do it? Would you act again?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I would. Of course I would. Yeah. I would never pass that up.
Yeah, like
I'm not pursuing acting in any way, and haven't in, you know, over a decade now, because I'm doing other things, but
if they came knocking.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, So we have one final question for you. We ask this for in all of our interviews, and it is a little bit putting you on the spot, but it's okay. We'll give you a little time to think about it. And maybe you've already told us some stuff, but what is one thing you can tell us about your experience working on Scary Movie 3 that you've never told any other interviewer? I don't know if you've ever talked to a podcaster, publication, your press person,
just Dean.
One little thing that you've never told anyone, something about working on Scary Movie 3.
Oh my gosh. Let me think for a hot second.
Okay. Right. We'll talk. Tim, how's it going?
Good, you know.
How's that, Gary? We can cut out the thinking.
Yeah, we'll cut out the thinking.
Yeah, just anything that, just a random thing.
Like one day, everyone on set got barfed because there was bad chicken.
Or one day you walked in on Queen Latifah and Simon Cowell making out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I haven't told interviewers this. Like, there's not going to be like info on this anywhere. I've told my friends this, but oh. I feel like this counts. I mean, it's juicy and a look into my personal life. I remember when I went to set for Scary Movie 4 for just like the few days I was on set, I shared a trailer actually with Bo Murtaugh, who was in that movie. And he was like, maybe like 16 or 17 at that time.
Hot. He's hot. I mean, he's hot now. Like, I know what you mean. He was on Awkward. He was on that show. It was a crazy show. I forget what it's called, but he was on Awkward. Very good looking guy. Yes.
But the reason I bring this up on, you know, the fact of him being good looking is I remember being like, maybe I was like 12 or 13 at this time, you know, for Scary Movie 4. And I remember that being one of the moments where I was like, oh, men are hot. This is a hot man. This 17-year-old man. Yeah, in my mind, I was like, oh, okay, I can get behind this, sharing this trailer with this man. Which sounds weird as like a 13-year-old and he's like 17. It wasn't like that, obviously. But in my mind, I remember being like, that was like an awakening moment for me, to be totally honest.
I love that. That was when you can look back, and when people say, when did you discover that you were gay? You can say, in the trailer, Scary Movie 4.
Yeah. That was one of the moments. Yeah,
that's awesome.
A really good one.
I like that. And he's a very good looking man. I think he's now like in his early 30s or something, yeah. But
he's like mid 30s, I think now.
Yeah. So,
so, you know,
well, only because I was thinking about how old I was and how old he was.
Yeah.
No, that is awesome. Well, look, Drew, we've had such a fun time today. I hope you have too. This has been great.
This has been great. I was honestly very nervous about this because I just thought it would sound stupid, but
no,
you were awesome. This was so much fun. We really, really appreciate it. Please, if you do get a chance, we'll keep in touch with when the episode's going to be released. But if you do get a chance and happen to go through some of those pictures, if you can send us some screenshots, we would love to post those. I think people would love to see that.
Sure. Absolutely. Awesome.
Perfect. Okay. Again, thank you so much, Drew. Really, we really appreciate it. This was so much fun. Thank you for all the great stories.
Oh, of course.
Tell Thomas I said hello.
Oh my God. I will.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk with you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.